Welcome to Open Hour. My name's Peter Robinson. I'm sitting in this week for David Latulli. And we have an exciting program coming up, including music, dance, and classical music. And we're going to start, in fact, with music for two pianos. And I'd welcome my two guests, Anne Sagiera, and also playing and also composing, David Verrotta. Welcome to Open Hour. And I thought we might begin with a piece of music where we actually hear the two pianos playing, and then we can talk a little bit about how, when you were composing these, they came together.
Sounds great.
So, David, I think my first question is to you. I can understand somebody composing for a single piano and carrying just that particular section in their head. How do you go about composing for two pianos?
Well, composing for two pianos is actually a good question. It's very interesting because, you know, it's often said that the piano is like having an orchestra at your fingertips, and having two pianos is therefore like having two orchestras at your fingertips. And so it opens up a huge amount of possibilities in terms of multiple voices, phrasing, things that are happening in different area of the pianos. At the same time, sometimes it's a little bit hard because you have so many possibilities. And therefore, you have to kind of exercise a good amount of restraint not to write it too hard or too complicated. And you have to basically thin it down occasionally, because otherwise you are always there like having an orchestra full blast.
And so you have a score in your head, which is not letting the left hand know what the right hand's doing. You're concerned about what the four hands are doing at the same time.
Yes, pretty much, with the four hands, with the addition that now the four hands have available, each one has 88 keys, so you have to really be very fully aware of
all the keys.
All the keys. You have two pianos, which is actually wonderful. Yes.
Now, I know you've worked together over the years, so you come in at what point, the minute you're told, or are you part of the thinking that goes into the composition?
Oh, well, both Davide and I have composed pieces for each other to play. When Davide brings in something, he's pretty much composed it. I think the only I think it's just how it sounds together in its when we actually take it out into the air, take it out for a ride, so to speak. Do we start to make changes? You know,
is there any element of I hate to ask this question, of improvisation when you're actually composing, where you hear something and you say, "No, I want to go off into something different."
There is. Well, actually, in one of the pieces, there are sections that are improvised still, even in final version. So, you know, I mix a little bit of classical writing and a little bit of a more improvisational style. So there are sections there in which we basically are playing against each other in a sort of improvisational way. But otherwise, everything else is fully notated in classical style. So, yes.
And what was your own background before you started composing?
Well, I was mostly trained as a pianist. You know, composition is the more recent. I mean, naturally, I was trained as a pianist. Composition is a much more recent thing, although at this point it's been a good 15 years. You know, I was taking some theory, and I decided, and I got the bug, you know, I got the bug, and then I went back and I finished my studies in composition, and basically now I'm mostly composing and playing ensemble and not doing much piano solo.
And then your background?
Oh, I'm classically trained, so I trained classically as a pianist and went into the San Francisco Conservatory as a piano performance major, mm-hmm. but then I exited as a composition major, so
okay.
so the bug bit. Yeah.
And if you were to think of the influences that has been part of each of your different lives in terms of piano composition, who would you say was an influence for you, David?
I think as a pianist was Beethoven and Debussy. As a composer, Shostakovich and Stravinsky.
Well, you've got a wide range there.
Yes.
Cacophonies with harmony.
Yeah. Although Shostakovich is fairly tame by the 1960 or 1970 standards.
Right. So. And Anne, your sort of influences, your favorites maybe?
In compositionally speaking, I would say Mozart, Stravinsky, Wayne Shorter. I play jazz and Brazilian music, so those composers, Yvonne Lenz, Jobim. And then in terms of playing the piano, Chopin has played a tremendous influence there. And then all of the modern jazz.
And when we think back pianists. To when two pianos were brought together as performance pieces, what is the history of that? How long has that been in terms of happening?
The literature is limited because it's very hard to fit two pianos in a room, I think. So mm-hmm. so there is a lot of literature for four hands and one piano, but not for two pianos. I think Mozart has actually a two-piano piece somewhere. I don't remember where. But it's mostly 20th century. Correct me if I'm wrong. There is.
Mozart has a two-piano sonata.
There is Lutoslavsky, Shostakovich.
Rachmaninoff has one.
Yeah, Rachmaninoff. Yeah. And I sometimes think this is me as essentially a listener and a non-player, as the pianos talking to each other. So I see it as a conversation from here we go, there we go, here we go, there we go, and then we come together. Is that a misconception?
No, I don't think so. Oh, sorry. it is in parts. So, and just like any conversation, people talk over each other or they interrupt each other and they'll interact with each other.
Yes, but it's true that, having two pianos at your disposal introduce a choreography and therefore, especially in performance, you can have a dialogue, a literary dialogue between the two instruments, the two performers, because one play, there is, I think, at least one section of one of my pieces, right? And
yes.
That we literally do that. I play and replies, and then I play, and then we go back and forth. So.
And what... tell us what we're going to hear at this particular upcoming performance.
It's going to be a number of selections that we've composed over the past year and a half. We each composed a sonata, although Unhinged. Is that technically a sonata?
Yeah, I think. It's a four movement piece, Unhinged.
Was the first thing we heard.
First thing that we heard before the beginning of the last movement. And then I have another piece that is called Crisp, which is a long one movement piece, which is kind of in free form. And then we are going to play your pieces.
A sonata and a little collection of pieces called Imagines, or just images, and it's growing. I'll just keep adding pieces to that, and so we'll hear two selections from that, and then we've got the Shostakovich two piano concertina.
Yeah, the concertina, which is a wonderful piece. He wrote it at the beginning of the 50s, I think it was for the diploma of his son, and it's a wonderful, fantastically tight piece. It's just...
And do you see, is this a political question, an element of protest in Shostakovich music? Is he saying something to the Russian people first or the world second?
I don't know. Shostakovich, I don't know. To me, is a fascinating figure of the 20th century because of what he had to go through. In a piece like this, it looks like in the early 50s, he did a lot of pieces that... used almost childish themes. Mm-hmm. You know, this one is a theme that goes that are very, very childish. But underneath, occasionally you see a current of despair, sorrow. So I don't know, you know.
Yeah, no, I think there's a happy-go-lucky sequence where you're then brought in with something deep and serious.
Yeah.
And that he's asking you to think and listen to both these elements.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And we're going to finish today with you, Anne. And we have a piece that you, in fact, are playing. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Oh, sure. This is one of the imagines that we'll be playing on the program. It's called choro, and it is choro is a style of Brazilian music. So this piece, it's kind of an homage to the modern choro players like Ginga, and it makes use, of course, of Brazilian rhythms and modal harmony. Mm-hmm. Modern modal harmony.
And just before we go to that, give us again the information where you're performing and also whatever website we can reach you at.
Okay, absolutely. So on this coming Saturday, on October 1st, we're going to be at Piedmont Piano Company in Oakland at 8 p.m. And on Friday, October 7th, we'll be in San Francisco at the Center for New Music. And that show starts at 7:30. And so if you go to either of our websites, davideverota.com or annesajdera.com, you'll find ticket information there or ticket information on Piedmont Piano Company's website or Center for New Music.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful evening. Four hands busily occupied, giving us everything from Shostakovich to maybe a hint of Brazilian jazz. And here to go out is a piece, in fact, performed by Anne Sajdera, and we can hear it now.